Friday, January 26, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Friday to you. We made it through another week. We hope that the Daily Dose Sports Podcast is helping you get through your work week or just your week in general a little bit. Like I said, I'm not asking for all the credit, but I hope that we're helping you a little bit. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. We do get a number of those. Maybe you have a suggestion for a top five, which we do every single Friday, and we will be doing one today. Of course, it will be a little bit Super Bowl related, so you got to make sure that you stick around for that. We've got a lot to get to today. We have some breaking news, and we do have to look forward to a weekend in sports that's not quite as good as what we've been having the last few weeks. I'll be transparent. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it for you, but there are still some things to watch. There are still some decent things to watch in sports this weekend. And of course, like I said, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way that is going to go. So we have been wondering here at the Daily Dose, where in the world NBA Commissioner Adam Silver has been. You know, the NBA seems to have a huge problem with players disputing referee calls and officials making calls that seem kind of arbitrary and capricious at times. I keep waiting for Silver to step up, take control of the situation, and that hasn't happened. And now we know why. We absolutely know why, because dude is busy trying to get gambling legalized for NBA games. The NBA on Wednesday formally requested a set of laws that could be the basis for professional sports leagues pushing for national legalized wagering on games. An attorney for the NBA, Dan Spillane, he testified in front of a New York State Senate committee, and for the first time, he made it clear what the league's price would be to become a partner in legalizing the gambling industry for sports. The NBA wants 1% of every bet made on its games, in addition to some other regulations, a request that could create huge revenue for the NBA and every other sports league. Spillane also said the NBA wants more widespread access to gambling for its fans, pushing for bets to be made legal on smartphones and in kiosks, not just at like casinos or at like a racetrack or something like that. It would increase the amount of wagering and in turn create more revenue for the league. That is what Adam Silver has been doing. Not doing anything with his league that he probably should be doing. He's been trying to get gambling going for professional sports. Now here's the thing. That's huge money. We're not talking about small time chump change. We're talking about huge money. They are estimating that about $12 billion will be bet on for this Super Bowl coming up this next weekend. Now you sit there and say, okay, $12 billion, what a big deal. How much of that money is taxable? Yeah, do you see why they just might turn this and get gambling going? And if it was 1% of $12 billion, do you see how much these sports leagues stand to make? Hey, they do this in other countries, right? Like you go to a live sporting event, you can gamble on the games right there, right then. This would be huge money for these leagues. Then again, I'm thinking about this. And sometimes in those other countries, you also see a player scoring his own goal or like an official make a bad call. And then you see these people get their heads sawed off by the locals. But hey, it's all part of the game, right? No harm there. Remember, it's not whether you win or lose. It's whether or not you cover the spread, and you had better cover the spread or else. Once again, is this the best scenario? I know the NBA is really pushing for this, and Adam Silver really seems to be on top of this, but is this the best scenario for a league that seems to struggle so much with its officiating and with, at times, a feeling like the refs are kind of shady? Not sure if that's a really good match. This almost seems like a match made in hell at times to me. But hey, what do I know? These guys are way smarter than some dumb podcast host, aren't they? I mean, they are, right? Okay, let's hope they are. Speaking of the NBA, The Cleveland Cavaliers announced on Thursday they are making a change to their starting lineup in hopes of getting this season turned around and getting something positive going. So they will sit Jay Crowder and bring Tristan Thompson back to a starting role, which would allow Kevin Love to go back to a more natural forward position instead of kind of playing out of position at like a five, which is what he's been doing. You know, it's an interesting move. I understand it. Love had been struggling, and they kind of needed to do something to get him going again. But let's not forget one very important thing about Tristan Thompson. He's not, He's not very good at basketball. And while he is a rim protector, he has to run back on defense in order to actually protect the rim, which he struggles with. Now he's a starter? That's a guy who's starting? Like, he had been demoted because he was so bad at basketball. Now he's a starter. Interesting. Some other news coming out on Thursday, WWE founder and chairman Vince McMahon announced he is going to give a professional football league another go. McMahon said he's the sole funding source for a new league, which is slated to begin in January 2020. Its first season would have 8 teams all around the country playing a 10-week schedule. They're going to call it the XFL again, the same name of the league that McMahon and NBC tried that one season back in 2001, but it was horrible. But McMahon says this one won't rely on flashy cheerleaders and goofy things like rolling out the ball or whatever that was in a fumble contest for the coin toss or whatever that nonsense was. One mark of the new league, McMahon said, would be faster games. The ideal running time, he said, they were going to try to get football games done in 2 hours. Teams will be formed in 2019. McMahon says he will not bring in anyone that has a previous criminal record. So never mind, Johnny Manziel. John Football, your services are not needed here. Now, McMahon is saying he wants legitimate football. He doesn't want anything crazy. He doesn't want the big, flashy nonsense that they tried to do last time. He said he wants legitimate football with legitimate guys and see if they could make a run at some sort of an off-season football league. You know, he doesn't want, like, wrestling with scripts. And on the biggest play of the championship game, the starting quarterback smashes the ref over the head with a folding chair, switches jerseys, and then wins the game for the underdog. He doesn't want that kind of stuff. At least that's what he says. But then again, let me ask you this. Let's say it was going to be scripted football like wrestling, okay? Let's just say that was kind of the direction that he actually does want to go. Isn't that exactly what he would say? Like, he would try to tell us, I'm not trying to do the scripted thing. Like, we're just going to try to have it really, really legitimate football. So don't worry about any of the scripted stuff. We're not going to do all that crazy stuff. Yeah, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure if I'm going to trust Vince McMahon on this. We'll have to wait and see exactly how this all comes together. But that sounds to me like exactly what he would say if he was trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Yeah, I'm not watching wrestling, so we're going to have to see. Hey, coming back, we will be looking at the coming weekend in sports and let you know which events just might be worth your time to find your way towards seeing. You know, I know we don't have the big college football games or the big NFL games or anything like that, but there are a few things, a little bit different, that you are going to want to make sure that you find a way to watch this weekend. So you know we do this every single week. We take a look on Fridays at some of the upcoming events over the weekend. Like I said, you've got a lot to do. We try to keep you up on the best things to tune in for. Now, we are not only just previewing the games, I am also picking the games and seeing how we do with our picks. Let's see. Last week, I made 11 picks. I went 6-5. I told you, I always stress this to you, gamble at your own risk. That's right. We did still make some money this last week, but I'm telling you, it's not easy to do this whole gambling thing. It's tough. If you're trying to make your money gambling, good luck. Remember, they don't build those big casinos by losing, but we do it for you. We try to help you. Remember, we're in the business here at the Daily Dose of helping people. So once again, we are going to tell you some events to look forward to this weekend, and we are going to give you some picks if you would like to make some serious money. You don't have to. If you do, just remember who helped you win the money. And if you lose, forget I said anything. Blame someone else. Wasn't me. If it's another rough week, I don't want to hear about it. Okay. Got a couple different things for you starting tonight. First off, at 6 p.m., we actually have a pretty good matchup between two top 20 college hockey teams. I know, we're throwing college hockey at you this week, but number one Notre Dame goes to number 14 Minnesota. No, you won't be glued to it, but I'm telling you, having this game on in the background, it might be a decent game. Minnesota looking to defend their home ice where they have been pretty good. Now, they have already lost to Notre Dame two times this year. Both games, very, very close games. I will pick Notre Dame on the road, but don't be surprised if Minnesota were to pull the upset here. That is at 6 p.m. tonight. Also at 6 p.m., maybe this is more what you're looking for. We have an NBA game that's actually pretty interesting. The Houston Rockets will go to New Orleans to play the Pelicans. The Rockets have now won 9 of their last 12 games, and the Pelicans have won 6 out of 7. So these are two pretty hot teams. You know, I look at the New Orleans Pelicans, who are sitting at 6th place in the West right now. And you just kind of wonder, why aren't they one of the top 2, 3, 4 teams? I mean, they have Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Do you realize those two average 52 points and 22 rebounds per game combined? I mean, the Pelicans shoot the ball reasonably well. Why aren't they a true contender in the West? Like, when we think about teams in the West, you think about the Warriors, think about the Rockets, maybe someone like the Thunder or the Spurs. You don't really think about the Pelicans. But I'm going to tell you why they do struggle. Because they can't defend guards. Jrue Holiday and Rajon Rondo just aren't scaring the nasty guards that are in the West. I mean, think about the guards in the West. It's almost unfair. You've got Stephen Clay. You've got Harden and CP3. Even someone like Jeff Teague and Jimmy Butler is a pretty good combo. Russell Westbrook and Andre Robertson. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. But I mean, Jrue Holiday and Rajon Rondo, they're not going to get it done against that group. That's a really good group. I will take Houston on the road, but like I said, the Pelicans are playing very well. So we have that going on Friday night as well. Also, going this whole weekend, we'll kind of talk about it on each day, but going this whole weekend started yesterday. The 2018 Winter X Games are taking place in Aspen, Colorado. These events, they're running like all day, all night. You can turn on ESPN something and I'm sure find them. Tonight on Friday, we have snowboarding and snowmobiling. If you want to see some people try not to maim themselves, might want to tune in to the Winter X Games. Should be pretty good. Okay, Saturday, it is that time of year. We have to get a little bit creative with what we watch, but overall, there are still some good things to watch on Saturday. Of course, the X Games will continue. Here's the thing about the X Games on Saturday. You've got freestyle skiing, you've got more snowboarding, and the snow bike cross. I'm assuming that's like motorcycles out on the snow? I don't know. Wonderful chance to see some injuries here, folks. Again, X Games are going all day. Now, we do also have the SEC versus Big 12 Hardwood Challenge going this season. It starts on Saturday. The Big 12 looks like they are the best conference in college hoops. But I'm telling you, the SEC has some big-time talent. A lot of it is just very, very young. So we're going to have games like Texas Tech versus South Carolina, Baylor versus Florida, Ole Miss versus Texas, TCU versus Vanderbilt, Georgia and K-State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Tennessee, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and Arkansas and Kentucky versus West Virginia is probably the best matchup of this whole thing. I would pick the Big 12 to win the overall series, but there should be a ton of decent college basketball games to watch right there. Now, here is our college basketball must-see game of the weekend. At noon on Saturday, we have number 2 Virginia going to number 4 Duke. You've got defense versus offense. You've got Tony Bennett versus Mike Krzyzewski. That is definitely the must-see game of the weekend. It is at Cameron Indoor Stadium. The Duke Blue Devils, they've got to show that they can play some defense. And they don't do it. I expect them to play a good amount of zone in this game. And then the question is going to be, can Virginia execute against it? Don't miss this one if you can. Noon on Saturday, Virginia versus Duke. That is a great, great college basketball game. And then we've got another primetime NBA game that you're not going to want to miss either. At 6:30, the Boston Celtics go to Golden State to face the Warriors. Could this be an NBA Finals preview? I mean, maybe with the way the Cavaliers are playing. Can the Celtics get some important numbers from their young guys? And the biggest thing when you're facing Golden State, can the Celtics keep Golden State from going on one of those crazy runs that they go on all the time? It's like you're sitting there, it's a close game, you're within 2 or 3 points, maybe we're even up 2 or 3 points, and then Golden State goes on one of those runs where they run off like a 20-3 run, and you're sitting there going, how are we down by 15? Like, we were just up by 2. What just happened? It was only like 3 minutes of game time. Those kind of runs can happen very quickly with a squad like Golden State. Boston versus Golden State, Saturday night at 6:30. That's a pretty good game you might want to tune in for. Saturday night at 7 p.m., you might not realize it because no one really watches hockey outside of the Northeast and like Canada, but the NHL All-Star Weekend is also this weekend. And if you don't feel like watching a full game, at 7 p.m. on Saturday night, you could watch the NHL All-Star Games Skills Competition. Watching the skills that these guys have on the ice with a stick and a puck, I'm telling you, it's eye-opening. You know, I still remember, not to go down memory lane here too much, but I still remember the first NHL game I ever went to. It was back in like 96 or something, and we had just gotten the Colorado Avalanche here in Denver, and I went and saw them play the Hartford Whalers. And I remember seeing a game in person, and the thing that stood out to me the most, one, was just how fast Joe Sakic was. I've never seen anything like that. So fast. But two, just the way these guys flip the puck up and just hand it to an official. And I know that is just inane, and it is the most simple thing, and it, like, to anyone else, seems like nothing. But I'm telling you, they pick up the puck like it's nothing. Like, they just carry it around on their stick, like, and I'm sitting there going, one, if it, you're on ice, like if I was out there, I would kill myself. It is impressive the stuff that these hockey players do. You might want to check that out Saturday at 7 p.m. Okay, Sunday, it's Pro Bowl Sunday. Who is going to win an All-Star game that, okay, literally no one cares about? Oh, it's going to be fun. But there are some other things to watch on Sunday. Starting off early Sunday morning, don't forget, we will have the Australian Open Men's Final Championship. That's right, kids. We have tennis on Sunday. When you think of tennis, got the nets, the rackets, the balls.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore.
And we don't know who's going to be in that final, but Sunday morning, probably pretty early because it is in Australia, we've got tennis. Okay, let's get to some actual stuff. At 10 a.m., I'm not a Pro Bowl fan, I've told you that, but on Sunday morning, you can watch the Pro Bowl skills competition. The event was taped actually last night. In my opinion, this is a better event than the actual game itself. Like, let's see who can throw it the farthest or catch it the best or run the fastest. That's way more fun than the actual game, especially for kids to watch. So if you've got some kids, you want to keep them tuned into something, 10 a.m. Pro Bowl Skills Challenge might do that. We do, of course, also have more 2018 X Games on Sunday. You know, I think on Sunday, they have best trick on a snow bike. Again, I'm just saying, ambulances are standing by, so you might want to tune in and watch a little bit of X Games. Okay, let's get to the real games. 11 a.m., we have Villanova going to Marquette. It's at least a solid matchup. Marquette isn't great defensively, so that could be big trouble against a team like Villanova because Nova is capable of scoring in a number of different ways, but it is at Marquette. Home court advantage does mean something. I will pick Nova in that game. Also at 11 a.m., we've got a pretty good Big Ten matchup. Michigan State goes to Maryland. The Terrapins have been battling a number of tough injuries lately. You know Michigan State will be trying to capitalize on that, but I expect Maryland to play hard at home. I'll take Michigan State on the road. At 1 p.m., we have some football this weekend. It's not real football, but we do have some football. It's actually pretty awful football, and it's being played between guys that couldn't come up with a good enough excuse to skip this game. Because we all know no one wants to play in the Pro Bowl. But at 1 p.m., we have the Pro Bowl from Orlando. You know, it's basically the equivalent of the people who aren't smart enough to get out of jury duty. That's who plays in the Pro Bowl. When you think about some of the quarterbacks that have gotten in because everyone's like, yeah, I'm not playing. Okay, next guy. Yeah, I'm not playing. Okay, next guy. Yeah, I'm not playing. Derek Carr is playing for the AFC. After the season he had, Carr was horrible this year. I mean, was Paxton Lynch not available? But again, it is football. If you need football, here you go. The Pittsburgh Steelers, of course, lead all teams with 8 players in this game. Just a reminder, kind of keep this in mind, they will have 0 players playing in the Super Bowl. So there's that. The NFC is actually a 3-point favorite in Vegas for this game. Who in the world bets on the Pro Bowl? Like, it's a pretend game. You might actually see a receiver try to catch a ball in their helmet. You are seriously a special kind of gambler if you are betting on the Pro Bowl. Like, if you're sitting there going, hey, I've got some inside info on the Pro Bowl. It's a lock. You got to take the NFC. I'm actually going to take the AFC in the upset. How about that? Just for that, I'm going to take the AFC. At 1:30, we have the NHL All-Star Game. This is also a pretend game. And, you know, like football, it's tough to play hockey at half speed. So you end up getting like a comical amount of scoring. But the NHL actually recognizes this and embraces this. So what the NHL does, they've gotten rid of their conference versus conference setup, and they actually play division versus division. It's just 3-on-3. It's like 20 minutes, 3-on-3 different teams, winners advance. It's kind of interesting. If you like wide open play, 1:30 on Sunday, the NHL All-Star Game, the way they do it now definitely lends itself to a lot of scoring. Also at 1:30, we have another Big Ten matchup. Number 3, Purdue, goes to Indiana. We just finished up the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and the ACC tore the Big Ten up, but the Big Ten still has some solid, solid basketball teams. Of course, Purdue, very complete team. They started the season off a little rough, but they have gotten better. Indiana at home is always tough. If you are not familiar with the home court advantage that Indiana has, those fans are literally right on top of you. Hey, Indiana gave Duke all they wanted in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. They did also lose Deron Davis for the year. That's kind of tough, but Purdue-Indiana is a huge, huge rivalry game. Those two schools don't particularly like each other. I will take Purdue on the road. At 4 p.m., we've got an ACC game that you might at least tune in and check and see if it's any good. Number 18, Clemson, goes to Virginia Tech. The Clemson Tigers were quietly having a really sneaky good season, but then last week, they lost their second leading scorer, Dante Grantham. He went down with a knee injury. Georgia Tech is not great, but Georgia Tech is pretty good defensively. Can the Tigers manufacture enough points on the road, especially without their second leading scorer? We shall see. I will take Clemson in that game. So there you have it, our weekend preview and my weekend picks. Go make yourself some money and enjoy the weekend. Hey, coming back, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we've talked a lot about Tom Brady this week. And no, we're not going to blast him again. We kind of did that yesterday. Well, we didn't really. We just kind of blasted the thinking that he is the greatest quarterback of all time. But here is the question. What quarterbacks have the distinction of losing to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? Just a quick reminder, you know you've got to go get something for Valentine's Day this year for that special person. You might as well head to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme is called Protect. It features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We're going to get you 10% off of your order. Okay, as we do every week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Of course, we all know Tom Brady is going to be lacing him up again next week to play in his 8th Super Bowl, which is absolutely amazing. We know he's already won 5. He's looking to make it 6 next Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. But here's the question that I have today on our Daily Dose Top 5. Who has Tom Brady beaten in the Super Bowl? I want to look at the opposing quarterbacks that he's beaten. Number 5 on our list. 5. You know, it was just last season, Super Bowl 51, the Atlanta Falcons had pushed their way out to a 28-3 lead in the third quarter. But then Tom Brady got it going, and when he had to find a way to score some points, or when he had to just, I don't know, get a first down, league MVP Matt Ryan was unable to make the plays. For the game, Brady ended up throwing for 466 yards. Ryan finished with just 284. And Matt Ryan also managed to capture the biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history.
The great Tom Brady had completed 10 in a row. Now second and goal.
319!
Tossed away.
So number 5 on our list, Tom Brady has beaten Matt Ryan. Moving on to number 4. One of the most bizarre finishes in Super Bowl history took place in Super Bowl 49 following the 2013 NFL season. The game was tied 14-14 at halftime. And then in the second half, the Seattle Seahawks actually took a 24-14 lead. Of course, Brady rallied the Patriots, threw 2 fourth quarter touchdowns, and the Patriots came back late to take a 28-24 lead. But Russell Wilson led the Seahawks on a long drive clear to the New England 1-yard line with less than 30 seconds remaining. You know, we kind of forget this, but Bill Belichick was actually being criticized for not using his timeouts because the clock was just ticking and ticking and ticking. It looked like the Seahawks were going to score, and it looked like Russell Wilson was going to get the victory. Then on second and goal, Russell Wilson threw a quick slant that was intercepted by Patriots rookie cornerback Malcolm Butler.
On the left. Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Tom Brady gets another win. That's number 4 on our list. Moving forward to number 3. It was Super Bowl 39, and the Patriots faced the Philadelphia Eagles, like they are going to next week. And while this was a close game, it wasn't particularly a fun game to watch. Brady only threw for 236 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, but that was enough to beat Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb. McNabb actually threw for 357 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, but he also threw 3 interceptions. Brady wins 24-21. Moving on to number two. You know, the year before the Patriots beat the Eagles, it was Super Bowl 38. Tom Brady actually won the MVP. This game was played in Houston as the Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers. This was a game that actually ended up being a little bit closer than everyone thought it would be. The Patriots never did trail, but Brady threw for 354 yards and three touchdowns, while Jake Delhomme did his best, tried to keep up. He ended up throwing for over 300 yards. He had three touchdowns of his own, but the Patriots just had a little too much for the Carolina Panthers. That's number two on our list. Number one on our list of opposing quarterbacks that Tom Brady has beaten. You know, it was his very first one. The Patriots were huge underdogs. The St. Louis Rams were the greatest show on turf. They had won the Super Bowl just 2 years before with their MVP quarterback, Kurt Warner. The Rams were favored by 14 in this game. And you know, Brady, he wasn't exactly Brady just yet. Not yet. He went 16 of 25. He had 145 yards and a touchdown, while Kurt Warner threw for 365 yards. But the Patriots defense caused three turnovers, including a pick six in the second quarter, which gave them the lead. Brady did lead a 53-yard drive for the winning Adam Vinatieri field goal as the clock expired, and the Patriots pulled one of the biggest upsets in Super Bowl history. Now, can we really take anything from the opposing quarterbacks in past Super Bowls? Probably not. It's just kind of interesting to see who Brady has faced when he lined up against other teams. It's also kind of interesting to look back at some of the other multi-Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Now, just for the sake of argument, we looked at Brady's lineup just now. Here are a few other quarterbacks that have won multiple Super Bowls, and here are their lists. Terry Bradshaw, he beat Fran Tarkington, he beat Roger Staubach twice, and he beat Vince Ferragamo. Joe Montana beat Kenny Anderson, Dan Marino, John Elway, and Boomer Esiason. Pretty good list. Troy Aikman beat Jim Kelly twice, and he beat Neil O'Donnell. Bart Starr beat Len Dawson and Daryl LaMonica. Bob Greasy beat Billy Kilmer and Fran Tarkington. Roger Staubach beat Bob Greasy and Craig Morton. Jim Plunkett, he managed to beat Ron Jaworski and Joe Theismann. John Elway beat Brett Favre and Chris Chandler. Ben Roethlisberger beat Matt Hasselbeck and Kurt Warner. Peyton Manning beat Rex Grossman and Cam Newton. And of course, Eli Manning beat Tom Brady, not once, but twice. Of course, Tom Brady, he's got a chance to add to his distinguished list if he can somehow find a way to beat Nick Foles next Sunday. So I guess there's that. Hey, it is Friday. We made it through another week. Next week, we will be getting you ready for the Super Bowl like only we can. Hey, I want to thank all of you for listening to The Daily Dose every day. I hope that you are enjoying it. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for the texts. Thanks for the tweets. All those things, they are very, very appreciated. Thank you for sharing the show. That is appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a wonderful weekend. I will see you all on Monday.